afternoon, and it's good to be back after all the Christmas and New Year's breaks and all that. Bet you're happy that it wasn't music again for the third week in a row. Although, thanks, Bob, for all the music.
Well, there will be music, just not as much of it.
Yeah, just not 2 hours of it. So today we've got a couple different things. We have our guest with us. I don't know, do we have him yet, Bruce Moran?
No. But we don't have Bill either.
Okay, well, we're not going to... Bill's out trying to park the truck, so we're not going to actually wait for Bill. We're going to call Bruce and get cracking.
This could take hours.
We only have Bruce for a little bit. And we've had him on before. I'd like to tell you when. I guess that was September the 18th, and I will move that link onto the webpage, which is wethepeopleradio.us. You can find all our contact information and a ton of archives. You got years and years of archives, and thanks to Robert Exter, we have them all commercial-free, which is super. And he splits them the first hour, second hour, so that's kind of helpful. If we have two different people and you just want the second hour, you don't have to... jockey through that whole thing and download some big giant file. So anyway, we make that easy for you. And so today we decided to cut into what we were going to do with Jim Lee just for like the first, half hour or so, because our friend Bruce Moran from Security Solutions Technology is going to come on with us and tell us what's going on in the land of national security, which has been obviously tons of stuff, unless you've been living under a rock. And, so we thought we'd get him on here. Bill's done parking the truck wherever you've managed to stash it. I don't know what the deal was this morning. There were a lot of people out on the road. Come in.
As the rain just brings them out. I don't know what it is.
I thought everybody would stay home. It's pouring. Anyway, we'll introduce everybody afterwards. But let's get Bruce on here so that he can get back to work, because I know he has a full schedule. Mr. Moran, what do you have for us today?
Well, there's several things we can talk about. I think what we see recently in the news is Kellyanne Conway and Donald Trump talking about the national security issues that are reflected in cybersecurity reports by the intelligence community.
Yeah, and, so it's like, did the Russians do it or didn't the Russians do it?
That's interesting. I mean... the Russians are always a major player,
sure,
and so are the Chinese, and there's also a special group out of Ukraine, and there are teams working out of each of these countries, so you have a lot of variables thrown into the pot. I think we need to go back to the initial problem that existed with the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton. She had an unsecured server, and that allowed for innumerable ways of risk and exposure to the State Department at the time. And my concerns are purely national security. What happened to who, what, when, where, and to what extent that we're going to address who was exposed. We're talking about people overseas that work for the State Department. Okay. And that's the people in the embassies. There are people who are working through other government agencies, and those are covert operations, and those are also SOG groups, special operation groups. They have families overseas, some of them, and they can be compromised, blackmailed, or killed. So John McCain was talking about that also in the last couple of days, about the Russians getting involved, and so was Lindsey Graham, about the exposure. And I think... these are valid statements, but how we go about drawing the final conclusions with the group of intelligence people in the community has to be looked at what they're actually seeing and what they're actually doing. So what does this all mean? Let's get back to the source. There was an unsecured server Hillary Clinton was using when she was Secretary of State, so there was exposure. Once somebody came in to the server, they could migrate or morph into the system, and that could affect other people at the State Department. At the time, I think there were 68,000 people that worked for the State Department. Like I said, they're overseas and both at home and abroad. But to me, that wasn't the most important thing. I wanted to know what actually happened, who did it, to what extent, and, did they actually go back to the source, to the agencies that gave her the information that were classified, top secret, secret. Those are the key issues. go back to the source agencies, and they're also responsible for giving information and knowing where it's at. It also ended up on Anthony Weiner's server, Huma's husband. So these are things that are not being discussed now because the election's over, but, I mean, she was, you can say, negligent or grossly negligent in not protecting the State Department itself as the head of the State Department.
And the one thing that seems to be, I don't know if they take it for granted because it's already been discussed, but the thing that kind of gets glossed over for the folks that don't really understand, you know, how servers work and all that sort of thing, you know, they just, you know, a lot of people don't understand the technology. They might use it, but they don't understand what's going on in the background. Everything that was, quote, leaked was actually factual.
Yes.
I mean, they actually made all those comments. It wasn't like somebody manufactured data, because that's what they want to make it sound like somebody, you know, made derogatory things and then put it out there.
And making false claims.
Right.
They didn't make any false claims.
But all this stuff was real. They actually did write back and forth to each other nasty things about Catholics and Jews and each other and,
getting
Bernie Sanders.
And Bernie Sanders, yeah.
With Podesta. So when you're implicating yourself, they're throwing a veil over what actually happened and taking it to another area where it's true, you know, the Russians and the Chinese are big players in cybersecurity, and they do infiltrate. I mean, that's normal. We infiltrate them, too.
But when we don't use any security on things that should have the highest security, we're not doing ourselves any favors.
No.
So they basically just exposed what the mainstream media didn't really want to talk about.
That's right. But I can talk about a little bit more here because that's what we deal with. In our article, How to Handcuff a National Security Investigation with Chuck Floyd and myself, at the end of the article, if people want to look at it, that's what's really the case and issue here. What was available, what they didn't choose to do, and how people in various government agencies and departments can be infiltrated and sabotaged and blackmailed and killed. That's what's at the end of that article. I think it's good for people to go back. It's a Forbes article, and it was printed on 9/16. So that goes into greater detail, and that's not being discussed. So what do I mean by that? Well, during her tenure as Secretary of State, there are certain security protocols you follow, and that's aside from her having a server, you know what I mean? Because she was Secretary of State, President Obama issued a couple executive orders for all the cabinet members to follow because there were security breaches and different things that need to be taken under consideration, how to check, cross-check, and counter-check yourself and your team, which would mean Huma and Cheryl Mills and that whole group of them, to make sure that you're, and now Podesta, to make sure you're secure. Well, that includes all your devices. All your devices are vulnerable today. And what does that mean? We call it endpoint, but that means your telephone. Anybody that's talking on a telephone, you have it secured. And especially if you're working for a, you know, Secretary of State. Everybody's mouse that's Wi-Fi connected is vulnerable because they can come in through the mouse. They can come in through the printer. They can come in through the HVAC system. They can come in through your tablet if it's connected to the internet.
Wow.
So now you're vulnerable. And at that time, and all these things were in question. So what we're talking about today was were those programs to protect those people in the House, in the Congress, you know, in some say in the State Department, anywhere, and it's serving in the intelligence community in the Senate, you know, those people should, you know, go to the SCIF, take no electronic devices, and get it done correctly, you know.
And explain the SCIF for people who don't know that?
That's a secure place that has a person in there who makes sure that anybody coming into the SCIF It's a secured area. It's a highly secured area. When we talk about highly, it's highly secured. I mean, that's the way it is. And you can't bring anything in there, and you can't take anything out. You can't write anything that you... So if those areas of top secret were part of what was disclosed about Hillary Clinton, and, you know, in certain classified information, maybe secret, could be top secret, and Anthony Weiner's computer, then this is... You don't know what's going on. Innumerable risk I'm talking about. That's what's compounding to me.
Did they find anything on his computer? Apparently, I mean...
There's classified information, yeah.
And so why aren't they pursuing anything on that?
It's over and done with, probably. You know, it's not... It actually was disclosed, some of it, after.
After the fact. Do you think they'll ever get... Do you think they'll ever go back to that and say, hey, look, crime was committed, or...
I don't know if that's so important now that we have new information I'm going to tell you about that's even more distressing than that. I didn't go to there yet.
Oh, okay.
I had sent Aaron some information on the Chinese.
Yeah, we need to take a really quick break, and then I want to come back on the Chinese, and we'll
that's a good topic to talk about.
Yeah, let's not interrupt that one, because that one looks like something we haven't been beaten over the head with for months.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get folks that information here in just a couple of minutes. You are listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Security, but I've been in the wrong place, but it must have been the right time. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong song. I've been in the right place.
The Anthony Weiner computer song. Welcome back. You're rejoining We the People. And now that everybody's here, we can tell you who we are.
I had a hard time getting into the studio.
I know you did. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
So now you have names to go with the voices.
That's right.
I was going to say the faces, but that was incorrect. So easy to get those confused. And we have faces for radio, so I guess
that's right.
I guess
I've
that
always
does
been told that.
That kind of applies.
We have some new sponsors this year we're kind of excited about. I know Powerhouse Solar came on board. They're going to be one of our new sponsors. And I got some more in the wings that we'll announce probably next week.
Bill's been a busy bee.
Yeah, we're trying to get...
In between getting sick like every other week.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a sore throat again.
Making America sick again.
God, no lie.
Man.
Yeah, do you have anything for that, Bruce? You have a... Is it the Chinese? Can we blame them for this? Because really somebody needs to be blamed.
Well, there's quite a few things we can talk about. Mm. And since John McCain and Lindsey Graham sit on the Armed Services Committee...
Right.
Last year, we had a huge amount of hacking going on with the Chinese community. And if we just look at the Boeing case itself, they had data on the F-35 and F-22 fighter jets. I mean, they hacked into it. They caught one. They prosecuted one, but two are still at large. And you don't know if the two are with other groups or sets of people that are continually hacking the United States government and our corporations for military information. So I think at such time, the Chinese also hacked into the Office of Personnel Management. And there were some 48 million, I'll look it up, four million and 100,000 security clearances of people that were exposed. Now, if President Obama was looking at this as the same impact as he's looking at the Russians for telling us what we already knew, then I think maybe some kind of direction by John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and the Obama administration would be taken against the Chinese diplomats.
Yeah, because
pretty obvious.
The Office of Personnel Management hack was like over a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous for them to, you know, especially Obama, to jump on the train now when he's known this has been going on for a long time. And I really kind of believe that the reason he didn't was he was waiting to see if it was going to help their side, and if it did, they were just going to shut up about it. I could be wrong. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, the data breach was
the only one you get.
It goes beyond. It was 4 million people, but they also had people with security clearances, so they can identify them, their social security numbers.
Yeah.
So if they're out in the field doing operations, and they're saying this kind of exposure exists with the Russians, but the Russians were actually saying the truth, these people are actually taking information, they got people's background information, they know who they are, and this is, to me, a case where it could be made for the same thing that Obama's done with the Russians. For a far more ominous threat, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the kind of thing I look at when I'm looking at a pure national security play. If you're going to take a stance, then you have to come across the board and make a stance. How much time do we have? Then I'll talk about something that's rather new.
Shoot for it. You've got time.
Okay, I can talk then? Okay. what's not really known to the public is the current hacking capability, and this happened in June of 2015, and it's called the group of people who are able to, it's called HT, a hacking team, but that's kind of their general term, but they use remote control systems, and their manual and their source code was disclosed to the general public, you can say.
Now, these are folks from our side?
No.
The Russians?
No. This was a nation-state player's source code and manual distributed worldwide.
Oh, nice.
So, you know what that means, right?
Enlighten me.
Well, everybody's got it?
No.
Surprise.
So somebody living in your basement and you don't know about it.
Wow.
All of a sudden you come up, grab some breakfast. Geez, part of my meatloaf is missing last night. Where'd that go?
I had a roommate like that. in a dormitory, yeah, we had all our food locked in tackle boxes in the refrigerator because when you woke up in the morning, it's like, who is doing this?
Yep.
It was long before we had, you know, spy cameras and stuff, but yeah, we needed it. I've been there.
So how do they catch them? Do they leave like breadcrumbs that identify them as particular people?
Well, if they're using this method, that's what I'm saying. They're living in your basement.
They look like you.
The rest of the house secured. And the
right.
basement is enclosed.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to the washroom and you say, gee, I thought I had a towel up there. It's all lying on the ground over here. You go, geez, Louise, how did I do that? Or you can go up to your apartment, you know, you will see nothing's missing. And here's the second part of that. Okay.
That's creepy.
What if you see a robbery happening? And it's in a Ferrari. What are you going to think? These guys got a quick getaway car.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Sure.
Okay. What else do you think? Do you think they're Italian? Because it's a Ferrari?
Well, I guess I wouldn't have thought of that, but now that you brought it up.
Well, that's what they could be pinning it on the Russians.
Sure, sure.
What the hacking code gives you the availability to mimic the Russians' hacking capability.
Right. And, you know, that's really what I... If
so,
these guys
so you're
are smart
like a,
enough
you're
to
like
get
a
in
cloak
there,
hacker.
Yeah, but if they're smart enough to get in there, I mean, if they're really...
Oh, no. Let me explain to you. They go onto your motherboard, you know, where you type on, and they can mimic you. So
right.
they memorize everything you do as that person. And then they come in as you. That's what I'm saying. That's why you're calling an Italian in a Ferrari. So they're mimicking the Russians doing that, or they're mimicking the Chinese doing it, or the Chinese are mimicking the Russians, blaming the Russians.
Right. So how do you really know?
You know.
That's kind of my
you
point.
Don't.
They're not gonna just run in there and leave all kinds of breadcrumbs behind and say, hey, look what I did. They're gonna leave crumbs behind and say, hey, look what he's doing. And you know.
What if it was somebody looking to have an even playing field in the general elections? What do I mean by that? I don't know if you remember this group called Anonymous. They're pretty famous two or three years ago. They're a very sophisticated freelance hacking group. What if it was Anonymous that did that and gave the information to the Russians, or just leaked it and then WikiLeaks got it?
Mm-hmm. It made it look like the Russians.
Yep.
Well, that's what Assange is claiming.
What if it was a Bernie Sanders voter backer or staffer who was a computer expert that decided to give up some information because they were felt disenfranchised?
Mm-hmm. And he's a Bernie Sanders supporter, so he would have done it for free.
I mean, is this something that I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that are capable of pulling this off, or is this like a pretty elite
once
group?
It happened in, let's say, July of 15, you had thousands of people at that time had capabilities.
Hmm.
Now, you say thousands, well, 1,000 could be a person head of a team of hackers,
sure,
like Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to bring Anonymous into this. They may or may not be involved. It could be a nation-state government, okay? What happened was once the source code and manual's out there, anybody and anything has access to it.
Sure.
So what my concern is, like organizations like the DEA, the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the FBI, the CIA, Department of Defense, their people and their positions could have been hacked, and we wouldn't know about it because they're in the basement or they're driving in a Ferrari telling everybody they're Italians.
Right.
So that's why I want to give you two examples. Now you can draw the basement example as one and now the Ferrari, because that's pretty self-evident. You're in that Ferrari, you got a quick getaway, and you're leaving behind, like you were saying earlier, crumbs. But it goes to another dimension. It could be quantum. I might have mentioned this last time. If you have quantum capability in the encryption, if somebody touches you on the shoulder, you look that way, they've already come in and out of your system. And then if they had this capability of using the code and the source code and the manual, then you don't know what's going on. In other words, their computer systems are quicker and faster. It's like running a 100-yard dash, okay, you take off, and you're at the 50-yard line. They've already been in the end zone.
Right.
And they've come back, touched you on the shoulder, scored, you know, took something out of your system, or implanted something, malware, and they're there, disguised, and extrapolating information from you.
So when you hear the government agencies say, oh, we thwarted, thousands of hacks and, you know, a few of them got through, but they probably don't really know how many got through.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That's true, too. The idea of cybersecurity is very, very sophisticated these days. And the average person on Twitter, Facebook, they're giving up a lot of information. But all that information they have on you can be, you know, extrapolated, put into a computer, and then analyzed and act like you, then if you're part of a senator's family, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, a congressman's family. Then they get in, they migrate in, and then they find out, you know, and then if they have the, like we're talking about earlier, the source code and the manual, they have all these things at their fingertips. Now, this just isn't one hacker. It could be five hackers working in tandem with each other. And they all come in together and put on many disguises.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're following them through the source code, they may misdirect you to Russia or misdirect you to China, while the other people are infiltrating and mimicking other people within the State Department or within the Defense Department, or that's what I'm talking about.
So is there anything developed that will prevent these guys from hacking our systems, or is that just because we're all playing with the same cards?
Yes,
we're all,
no.
You know,
yeah.
We're all going to get.
We have to go back to original source code, right, and stop it at the root. You got to get them out of the basement.
Right.
Once you get them out of the basement, then that means it's like everything and cleaning it up. There's names for it, but I don't want to go into what to do, okay? And then if they're if you're communicating, you have communication problems, then you have to have better encryption. So it's more sophisticated encryption across the board, all the U.S. departments and agencies across the board, and they have to be uniform and followed.
But does the encryption really help? I mean, if they're mm-hmm. be able to hack in behind the encryption.
Well, yeah, but if you get them out of the basement, you have to do both. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Do you think this new administration is going to be slightly more
Mike Flynn?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe they're going to be any worse than the guys for the last 8 years. I would imagine these guys are going to actually get something done.
Yeah, my concern is specifically about our corporations, our banking industry, how they can be hacked, you know, and a lot of the information they're using is going into, let's say, the Department of Commerce. So the Department of Commerce does what? Protects our patent rights. It protects our copyrights. So if that's what happened to Boeing, they got the plans to, you know, the fighter jets and to the transport. So if Boeing's transmitting that information into the government, you know, for their copyright and patent right, and that's being intercepted, that means another country, especially China, would want that to build the airplanes and to construct them in the same manner, you know. And that's... we call that dual purpose sometimes, technology.
And I've linked those articles that you sent.
Oh, okay.
Really, they're a whole... I actually created a secondary webpage for today that people can go in and click on all that, because there's a lot of information there.
But I wanted to... I only had a half hour, and I want to make sure people understand the magnitude of the problem. It's across the board, intelligence and military, you know, agencies and State Department and, you know, agriculture, commerce, the exchanges that are trading, the defense contractors, they're all concerned. You know, they have, you know, Raytheon and Boeing. We talk about Boeing. I'm really concerned about Boeing now. So,
what about...
These were... People have their jobs.
Sure.
The technology gets stolen and transferred. You lose your jobs.
Then it's gone.
There was a story here not too long ago about, it might have been in Virginia, where the power grid was hacked. Is that part of this? Is that a big threat?
That turned out to be a fake story.
How hard would it be for them to hack our power grid and really shut major...
This is how you go into the basement and make sure they're not there and improve your encryption.
Are we that vulnerable with our power grid?
I would say yes.
That's scary.
But you could protect certain sections of it because you can shut parts of it down. But it depends how it's infiltrated and to what degree. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Right.
Sure.
Yeah, I can't make the. I don't want to cause alarm. It's just a matter of. You got departments and agencies that will, you know, go in there and, you know, the Nuclear Regulatory Agency, and, you know, they have their own security at their place and stuff like that. But they shift the power, as you know, when you're having a power coming into San Diego and they're losing enough power to help all the people because now everybody's on computers. Everybody's using cell phones. Everybody's using more electric. So, if the power goes down, they shift to another grid. They shift power over there, you know, from another group of people that have a power plant.
So, well, I would think that as dependent as we are on the grid, that would be a pretty high priority to.
That's right. They're going to make it a priority in the administration.
Good.
That's the bottom line.
I don't want to talk about it. Yep. Yeah, no problem. Well, when you can and when we know more and all that, we'd love to have you back on and give us another update.
Yeah, those are very important questions. They're hard to answer because they're complicated. They're not very simple. And I was trying to explain to you our basement problem and our, you know, Ferrari problem. And
sure.
Yeah.
That's all new. And that's only within the last year and a half maybe. And once it's out there, it's a lot of exposure and a lot of danger. So,
right. Well, gosh, we sure appreciate you coming on, and that we do want to have you back once we get once the new administration gets in there and up and running, let's talk again. And
yeah, you know what's new, so you have to have to call us.
God bless you. Happy New Year to everybody out there. God bless and protect our country and keep it safe and secure.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. That's been Bruce Moran, National Security Advisor with Security Solutions Technology, just in case I didn't announce that in the middle of the interview there, so you know who you were listening to. Thank you very much, Bruce. We'll be taking a quick break here, and we're going to come back with Jim Lee. And kind of shifting gears a little bit, but I think you'll like it. Actually, lots of technology in the second half, too.
Yeah, yeah. We're techie. I mean, we're like Kim Commando around here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
In the basement. you're listening to We the People.
I'm more like in the attic.
we'll figure out where Bill is.
I'm actually in the garage.
All right, Waldo. Kind of too much Manfred Mann in your band, huh?
Manfred Mann. Yeah, that's going back a little bit.
Sure, make me choke. All righty. So, first part, a little national security. Second part, we're going to talk about, we're going to join up with our guest, Jim Lee. And, you know, every time we schedule him, something screwy happens at the first part of the show. Last time we had a little scheduling issue and we needed some fill we didn't have. Today we had fill we didn't need, so I don't know. How do you do it? You know? It's just craziness.
Well, it's the NSA. So, I think they're one of our big fans.
They're listening in and they're helping us. Helping.
They're from the government, you know, and they're here to help.
So we have Jim on Skype, so I think our quality of call will be much better. Hiya, Jim. Oh.
Oh.
Jim's in the cone.
Hang on.
Jim's in the cone of silence.
He can't hear you.
He can't hear us,
he can't talk to us.
Oh, there we go.
Is that better?
Jim, are you there? Hello, Jim.
Well, apparently the much better connection that we're going to have.
Can you guys hear me?
Hey,
yes.
There you are. Sounds
just
like you're
magic.
I was just gonna, saying how
right next to me.
Yeah, how much better the connection is, and it's like dead silence. Oh, it's a lot better.
That's how much you
it's
know.
Really super quiet.
Oh, sounds great.
Okay, so we talked about some of this stuff when you were on before the Christmas, New Year's insanity all hit. But I don't know where we want to start today. We've got a lot of stuff posted. I really do hope people go to the website because I've listed all of yours on there. So our site is wethepeopleradio.us. And when you go on there, you will be able to find the site that came on after we spoke to Jim last time. It actually came up live. It's weathermodificationhistory.com, and it is very awesome.
Thank you.
So there's
my
commercial.
I'm pretty stoked about that. That was my Christmas present to the internet. I released the first version of weathermodificationhistory.com on December 25th, and it's still a work in progress. I'm getting ready to update it after the show. And I made some serious progress, but the long story short of it is I started building a geoengineering timeline probably about 3 years ago, and at the time I had three separate timelines. So I had one for chemtrails, one for HAARP, and then one for weather modification and geoengineering. And I was like, why wouldn't I combine them all together? Because I kept seeing that there were certain entries that were in all three timelines. You know what I mean? They had to do with each other. And eventually I was like, well, let's try to do that. And it turns out that I went through every single open source timeline software there was, and none of them could hold that many entries without blowing up my mobile phone or my computer. So I was like, I guess I got to write my own. And, you know, 3 years ago, I started learning how to program websites, write HTML code and JavaScript. And I feel like a freaking digital wizard when I sit down now, because it's like, you know, it's like a dream to be able to have an idea and then create it and see it come to life and click on it and it moves. It's like a robot. It's like building a robot.
And everybody else can look, and everybody else can actually see it, unlike the websites we build.
I think they call that being a nerd, but, you know, I don't want to call names.
I'm so white and nerdy. It's so true. I have the epitome of nerd. Like, my daughter, she's 7 years old, and she's like, Daddy, I think I'm a nerd. And I'm like, you say that like that's a bad thing.
Yeah, but she can shoot a bow and arrow, so, you know, she's at least a defensible nerd.
Oh, yeah. So I bought my daughter a bow and arrow for the first time this Christmas, and we went out in the yard, and I got her a little compound bow, and she had all of her cousins over, and they're you know.
And then she said, run.
No, yeah, there's three like boys. They're 3, 5, and 7, and she's 7. And they all were so excited to shoot the bow. They all get out there. Nobody could pull it back, including a friend, another boy that was a friend. None of them could pull it back, and Caroline gets up there and pulls it back. And I'm just, like, overjoyed.
Oh, that's cool.
And she misses the first shot, and then she nails a target on the second shot. Proudest daddy ever.
No kidding.
That's pretty fun.
It was so epic. I was a Boy Scout, and we have Native American in us, Apache Choctaw, and the bow just came naturally when I was a child. And, you know, to see my daughter has that in her, it just reaffirms everything I believe about DNA memory and how your ancestors are still alive in you, and it's just epic. So epic.
My ancestors were all Vikings, so you better and Bill did buy me a hatchet 1 year. That's probably not good.
Yeah, no.
Not good for Bill.
I hide that. I know where it is at all times.
So,
if she starts to pillage, you better run. Yeah.
Exactly. If I get the itch to pillage. I just looked at the clock. Do we have to take a break, Bob?
Yes, we do.
Just looked at the clock. I'm like, oh, dang it. Okay, so when we come back, I need you to talk to us about all the things that are weather modification. You know, we need to get into what's real and what's been overblown.
Well, I saw a CIA director giving a big speech about weather modification and aerosol spraying, and gosh, everybody went nuts. See, they're doing it.
So, but it's like, what are they doing and what are they not doing? So we're gonna talk about that with Jim, because he has diligently researched it and can actually back up what he says, which is awesome.
Woohoo! let's do it. I hope that people will be calling in and taking notes and challenge us at the end, because you got an expert on the line.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Phone number here is 530-605-4567.
Snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
Bob's busting out all the weather songs. Nice. All right, Mr. Lee, Got about 8 minutes till the top of the hour when the news cuts us off for a brief other break. What are you going to talk to us about today?
So I guess we're going to talk about fear porn and and how it associated with the weather control activist / entertainer community. You know, this is a topic that I research pretty diligently. I nerd out on it also. And you can check out all my research at climateviewer.com/geoengineering, climateviewer.org, where I have a 3D map where I map out these programs and instruments that can be used to manipulate the atmosphere, and weathermodificationhistory.com, where you can see references, patents, experiments, a lot of the same material from climateviewer.com/geoengineering, but much prettier, and a timeline that you can sort through that is categorized, that goes from 1800 to present, that has categories like cloud seeding, geoengineering, space weather manipulation, and pluviculture. So we'll start there. Most people never heard the term pluviculture. It's a term that generally relates to rainmaking. Pluviculture is the period from 1800 to 1946, where people tried all kinds of manners of, you know, implementations, explosives, balloons, fires, you know, all burning forests was one of the very first ones. James Pollard Epsy, who's called the Storm King, he was a weather guy, actually made one of the first weather maps in America that was used by the military. And he suggested burning massive amounts of forests on the West Coast in order to seed the clouds to make rain on the East Coast. And that was back in 1839. So,
wow.
You know, that's where the timeline, I start the timeline there. I could go way back and talk about the Chinese and gunpowder and how at Antietam, you know, the gunpowder, the black powder from the Civil War made it rain after many battles. How the Indians, you know, the Native Americans, my peoples, would use rhythmic tones and the stomping of feet that would put so much sand and particles in the air that it could make it rain. You know, I try to keep it, you know, kind of concise. So I cut it off at 1800 because that's when we kind of hit the sciencey attempts at manipulating the weather, not just, you know, long-term practices. And you get where I'm going with that. So sure. Anyway, the pluviculture period goes from, you know, 1800 to 1946. And in 1946, Vincent Schaefer, Irving Langmuir, and Bernard Vonnegut, GE scientists, or General Electric scientists, basically invented cloud seeding then. And, you know, really what happened was Vincent Schaefer breathed in a freezer and they were like, ooh, you just made a cloud. And the other was like, see? And Langmuir was like, see? I told you so, Vince. You cannot make this stuff up.
Early I told you so's in science.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like Langmuir had talked about it for a long time. Bernard Vonnegut's brother's Kurt Vonnegut, the writer, and he talks about, you know, electrifying aerosols and stuff, man. He's out there, bro. But Langmuir really conceptualized it all, and Schaefer, you know, actually came up with an observational experiment where they could prove blah, blah, blah. So less than a year later, they went out and seeded a tropical storm, which just goes to show you how crazy these people are. You know, we invent cloud seeding in 1946. 1947, they go out and they seed with Project Cirrus. They get the military and the, you know, involved immediately. And General Electric and the military go out and spray a tropical storm, which changes color and direction, and then slams into Georgia, killing a guy and doing like $3 million in damage.
Oops.
Well, that worked.
Yeah.
That worked
out really well. And that was called the Cape Sable Hurricane, for those who want to Google it. But there's a lot of speculation after the fact. They say, oh, well, it was atmosphere, you know, ridge coming, and that's why it changed directions. It changed directions 120 degrees, changed color, and became a hurricane after you seeded it. 3 hours after they seeded it with, like, 200 pounds of something. My memory's failing me on that one little particular. But the notes are all on climateviewer.com. Just go to my geoengineering presentation that I gave at Ed Griffin's or G. Edward Griffin's conference, Global Warming and Inconvenient Truth, and you'll get an eyeful. It's on the sidebar of the site. So this is less than a year later. They had used the military to modify a storm that ended up killing somebody, and the technology was just invented. And less than 30 years later, and there's a lot that happened in between, but within 30 years, the military had actually used it as a weapon of war in Vietnam with Operation Popeye, Operation Motor Pool, Make Mud, Not War.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that, and that's a real thing. It really did happen, and
yeah.
So
we're going to sort out what's now going forward. You know, what's real, what's not, and you know, is the earth dying? Are the trees all dying? Are we being sprayed like lab rats? Those are things that Jim can help us with, and
let's get it figured out.
Get some facts into the game. Anyway, we're chatting with Jim Lee. It's We the People Radio. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Hour two next here at KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Afternoon. You are listening to We the People Radio. Joining us for our second hour, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
There you have it.
Yeah, we want to welcome our new sponsor, Powerhouse Solar, who's coming on board.
Exactly.
We're excited about that.
So we'll be
awesome. Solar is a good thing.
Solar is a good thing. And those guys actually are really smart. They've been in business for 12 years. And so I was looking on their website. It says, don't be fooled by other companies who don't specialize in solar or companies who may not be around in a year. Oh, my gosh. That's a huge consideration.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, don't do that. So anyway, you can find them at powerhousesolar.com. Very simple.
There you go.
Today we have with us Mr. Jim Lee. Who is he's a smart guy on a topic that I mean we hear a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there with climate engineering and all that, and a lot of it is I'll quote from a newsletter I get regularly: the earth is dying, the trees are all dying, we're being sprayed like lab rats, the UV radiation is off the charts. Global climate engineering programs are not a proposal, but have long since been a lethal reality. there have been, and you're going to like.
I'm so scared.
I knew you were going to like this. This is the fear porn part of the program. There are many agendas being carried out in our skies by the completely out of control power structure. None of
that's
these.
Actually, that line is true. Hold on. That line is true. Continue.
But it's just, it's not, it's just the way it.
Let's and none, weave a little truth
none
in.
None of these
the rest
agendas
of the
are benevolent or for the common good. But that's not, that sentence isn't surrounded by fact. It's just surrounded by scary talk.
Fear porn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear is the number one control mechanism. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is mind control. In the business industry, they call it FUD. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And if you can create any one of these three about your competitors, then you will be able to, you know, basically erase them in the public perception.
Well that's all you remember when you hear stuff like that. That's the scary part.
Sure, it works that way in politics, too. I mean, we all heard last Tuesday that the House of Representatives was getting rid of the ethics oversight. So they could just do whatever they wanted. And the little part they left out was that the House Ethics Committee was still functioning just like it always has. Does a great job. But there was a committee developed by Nancy Pelosi in 2008 that just functions as witch hunts. You know, they don't. So they were going to reform the witch hunt committee that taxpayers are footing the bill for. And that became, oh no, look what's happening. You know, they're going to just do whatever they want. There's just so much of this everywhere. It just doesn't even matter what industry you're in.
And I could wax all day long about the corruption of the fact that there is no accountability when everybody knows how guilty, Eric Holder lied to Congress. He still has a license. Hillary Clinton.
He's going to be working for the state of California, too.
In case you didn't hear that. Pure insanity. And the only way that they get away with this is that when you start to talk about, you know, actually doing something about their crimes, then they will generate a fear scenario which will distract attention.
Yep.
And even if you are still got your eye on the ball going, no, I saw what you did there, and I'm still watching you, that all the other, you know, sheep are watching that and then switching to football or switching to, you know, some kind of, you know, music that's telling you to buy stuff or degrade women. And I mean, that's why we have incidents like what we saw with the four, you know, black kids beating up on a, you know, mentally handicapped white dude yelling Trump this and that. And nobody wants to talk about the fact that they were put in that situation, not because they're political.
Right.
I know lots of black people. They're not political at all. I mean, I've never met a political black person at all, in fact, in my entire life. They feel the meme, you know, they feel the everything resonates. And when they hear all day long from people that Trump's a racist, they don't have a critical thinking bone in their body because they've never been trained to, and they're going to believe it.
And that's
not hard to understand.
Where are you geographically?
I'm in Sumter, South Carolina. South Carolina always votes red. And I didn't know till this year, I had an aha moment. I said, and I always say this, my hometown's about 60% black people. And I just, this year alone, I had this aha moment. I said, wait a minute, is my county red? And I looked at the map, it was blue. And I was like, wait a minute, I never even thought of that. Like, my county votes blue because it's 60% black people. And I never even put the two together. But at the end of the day, here in South Carolina, we have different race relations than the rest of the country. And I think that was exemplified by the Charleston shooting. And at the end of the day, that's because, you know, fear control is something that's used on people in the public. But down here in the South, people really talk a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We talk about everything. Going to a gas station, I have, you know, a conversation with an 80-year-old black man about chemtrails for about an hour. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get back in my car, bro. And that just doesn't happen. I lived in, you know, and I'm not saying this is just my personal experience. I was in Arizona. I lived in Casa Grande, Coolidge, Florence in Arizona. I lived in Bend, Oregon, and I lived in Omaha, Nebraska. And people are just very detached. Like, they don't talk to their neighbors. And if somebody holds a door for you, they look like, are you going to rob me? And in that kind of scenario, you're all controlled by fear.
Right.
It's pathetic.
Right.
You know what I mean? The reason why we have the situation that we have is you've been taught to be in such a fear state that this is Nazi Germany. Children are telling on their parents, and everybody's scared to talk because you might find out that I'm a Jew. And that's insane. And it's all because of fear control.
Yeah. Well, and there's a van parked outside your house with a funny antenna on top of it, spying on your every move. Yeah.
Or people calling me all the time saying, "Jim, you've got the NSA's facilities on your map. Aren't you scared to do that?"
It's like, well, they're still there.
I mean, yeah, a little bit. But did anybody during the American Revolution stop doing what they're doing because they were scared? No.
Yeah, unlikely.
I mean, anybody, the activists in the AIDS, you know, movement that were trying to get, you know, some life-saving drugs to the people, they were scared for sure, you know, and the people in Selma, scared, you know what I mean? They did it anyway. So what's your problem? You
exactly.
can't even talk to your neighbor because you're scared.
Well, did I lift this Carl Sagan quote from your website that...
The bamboozle?
Yeah, it says one of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power...
Over you.
Well, it's weird. The comma's in a weird place. Once you give a charlatan power over, you almost never get it back. So if you...
It's like science has been decided.
Carl Sagan was smart. Yeah. I mean, he was totally right, and that really fits, especially this topic, because the science is beyond what most people, for one, have time to delve into. It's not that mentally they don't have the capacity, but, you know, they're busy, they don't have the interest, they don't have the time. So they get the mountaintop version. And the mountaintop version fits with what we see. You know, the government is doing something bad that does not benefit you, that is actually harming you, and they're hiding it, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the day, that's what we call fear porn, and I call it slave speak. A guy named Frederick Mann wrote this paper called The Anatomy of Slave Speak. You can read it on climateviewer.com. It's on the sidebar right under the quote she just read. And there's a picture of a guy who has a TV for a head, and he's shooting himself in the head. It says, kill your television. So click on that bad boy. Read The Anatomy of Slave Speak, and it will change your life. It'll change your ability to really tell who's trying to manipulate you and why. You know, the mechanisms that they use to manipulate you are words. And if you recognize the types of words that people who are trying to manipulate you use, then you'll be a better truth seeker. You'll be a better critical thinker.
Yeah, take out all the scary words. Stick with the words that are just factual.
And, you know, what you're saying is totally true, because I think in the last 8 years, we've had the same message pounded into our head so often that now I think a lot of folks are just accepting the fact that it's real.
Yeah,
and it's not real.
Well, the beginning of the show, we were talking with the national security guy about the Russian hack, and it's funny, but people got so caught up in who the people were, was it the Russians, the Chinese, whoever, that they forgot that the information was not made up. The information was true.
Yeah, you know? It's laughable. You know, like I've heard Sean Hannity talking about the Office of Personnel Management hack, but that's the tip of the iceberg. I worked at a tire shop. Back in my tire shop.
Really?
And I swear to God, now we've been in economic warfare, cyber warfare, for at least 8 years. More than that, because I had that job for 5 years and they were doing it when I started. So I'm saying 10 years. And it was called the Google Aurora hack and the Night Dragon attacks. Go look it up.
Wow.
So apparently you
weren't selling the golden coin tires.
Right. So you nailed it. So they were breaking into our back office, stealing our prices, undercutting our prices, and then even freaking calling and emailing us to go, we'll sell you tires cheaper than you have them now. And they've been doing that to every company in America. So when you talk about hacking, you're talking to a hacker. And I'm an IT guy, and I know every single hack that's happened for like the last 10 years that are insanely large. And this is a joke. I mean, they knew about RT television. Like, anybody watches that stuff. If you don't know that RT is part of, you know, the Brzezinski demoralization of America, you're an idiot. I mean, it may be true, and there's a lot of bad stuff, but its intention is to demoralize you.
Yep.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's not hacking. That's brain hacking. That's human hacking.
Well, it's
that's
just
called
not
social
that,
engineering.
It's
know?
Not that far from that much different than what's happening in our own media, though, to really be honest. They want us to believe a certain way, and that's what they're going to report over and over.
Well, it's like, what did we hear? We meant to bring this up to you. What is it, a climate river now?
Oh, no. Atmospheric river.
Oh, an atmospheric river.
Yeah, it's not the Pineapple Express anymore. It's atmospheric rivers hitting us right now.
So then they also call them tropospheric rivers, oceanic atmospheric rivers, but there are guys who actually claim to steer those now, and they do them with cloud ionizers.
Do they really do it?
They claim success, and when Acquiesce and CyBlue, it's a guy, ex-Colonel David Kaczynski of CyBlue, got a permit in Texas in 2012 to steer a river over Texas. My article is called How Texas Stole California's Rain. In 2012, he got the permit. They said they were going to steer the river to Texas. Texas started flooding, and everybody remembers the Texas floods for the last couple of years. And that whole time, since 2012, Texas has been flooding all the damn time, and California's had no rain. Now, the atmospheric river used to reach in through L.A. almost daily. And it's coming from a band at the equator, and arms reach out and lash over America. And what they're doing is they're saying that they're diverting it. So, and they're doing this with what they call weather resonance technology. And they're using military and Department of Defense, you know, assets that are involved. And the guy is G.I. Joe. If you look this guy up, it is insane. I mean, he likes trained martial artists at the FBI and jumps out of planes, and he's a sniper, and he's a personal private investigator, and he sprayed Corex, a custom-bred bacteria, on the BP oil spill that his company made. They grew a custom organism for that oil and sprayed it everywhere. And he makes bottled water. So when I'm looking at his government NASICS codes and I'm going, and this guy says he's steering rivers in the sky, and everybody's talking about HAARP steering jet streams, which ain't possible, I can only see that this is always, it looks like a shell game, you know, generate fear about one target, and that target ain't the truth, and divert from the fact that these guys say they're steering atmospheric rivers. Oh, HAARP steers jet streams, nothing about atmospheric rivers, or Aqueous, SciBlue, WeatherTech, Atlant down in Australia, and AST Clear Sky Manager. So these are cloud ionizers. Look it up.
See, that's why
maybe,
we
maybe he can put something in his bottle of water that'll smarten people up a little bit.
We better take a break. I have to go beat Bill up in the back room. The silence on Jim's end was like, please, somebody somebody crack that guy over that noggin. We'll be back with Jim Lee. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
The dam's busted. Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't fear the reaper. Baby, take my hand. Don't fear the reaper. We'll be able to fly. Don't fear the reaper. Baby, I'm your man. La, la, la,
there you go. The anti-fear porn song. All right, Jim. So what of all this, you know, scary, they're spraying us stuff. What of all that is factual, and what's kind of crazy talk?
Well, I mean, let's go back no to pressure. The whole idea. The one line he said that I said was true. So the sky is like a river.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody uses rivers for different purposes. So some people like to boat. Some people like to swim. Some people like to fish. Some people like to just look at it. And the sky is the same. There are many different hands in that cookie jar, and they're all playing tug of war. So there's this thing called the butterfly effect. And the quote goes something like, if a butterfly flaps its wing in X, does it affect, you know, hurricanes and Y? And that's a real question that has never been truly answered. And the answer is, yes, of course it does. To what effect? Unknown. So when you have billions of dollars being spent on cloud seeding projects that are run by governments all around the world, which I am mapping, an example, the Philippines seeds its country. The last time I saw it was a couple months ago. They were seeding with 3,000 pounds of salt. Hmm. So they actually fly some military planes up there, and they got big bags of salt, and they just chunk it out the back. It is so redneck.
Wow.
To this day.
That's got to be good for the soil.
So Is there an all-out assault on destroying trees? Yeah, salt, putting salt in the air is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, right.
But they're stupid. And they have lobbyists, and the lobbyists are at Weather Modification Incorporated and Texas Weather Consultants, and or North American Weather Consultants, and, you know, UCAR in Boulder, Colorado. And if you don't know these names, then you need to tune in to somebody different. Because people who don't give you names, they're just preaching fear porn. You know, I'm a names and addresses kind of guy. You know what I mean? The people killing this planet have names and addresses. So that's what my website's all about, climateviewer.com, climateviewer.org, weathermodificationhistory.com, is names and addresses, dates, and facts. And the facts are that there are billions of dollars spent on cloud seeding. There has been 60 years of ship tracks and jets making clouds. And for 60 years, they've assumed they did X, Y, and Z. And now, with this whole carbon credit, carbon tax world that we're in, with the IPCC and the UNWO writing climate laws like crazy, you have to ask yourself, is the CO2 thing really that serious? When they are blaming climate change on hurricanes, on increased storms, on hell, they blame snow on global warming now. So, and you have to ask yourself, when there's been 100 years of people modifying the weather on a daily basis, and we're at a point where people are spending billions on modifying the weather in every single country, and they're lobbied by these weather modification companies that say, hey, you're in a drought, I can make it rain. I mean, it's hard for them to say no, and there are really no laws to protect anybody. So they say yes. And the methods that they use, in Russia, there was a case where Russia was cloud seeding with concrete.
What?
Swear to God, go Google it right now. Russia seeds clouds, concrete, falls through house. So they were chunking bags of concrete out the back. I guess they didn't even take the time with their little Russian, you know, knife to cut a hole in the bag or some crap. Because one of the bags actually solidified on the way down and crashed through somebody's home. Yeah, so they were cloud seeding with concrete. You can't make this stuff up. Most people only know about silver iodide, but there's actually many, many chemicals that they use, one of which is lead iodide. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
That didn't seem like a good idea.
You know, it's not a good idea, but the fact is that this is a fact. And it's a fact you now know, and you can go look into it. But fear porn entertainers who pretend to be activists will tell you, don't you know that they're spreading Morgellons and the mind control nanobots? And, you know, it's just like, I want to throw up when I hear it.
I want to start laughing just like I just did.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't laugh at it, the opposite of fear is laughter. And that's why I'm going to laugh and make them go away. I'm going to show you all the names and addresses, all the facts. You're going to have it all laid bare. I'm going to sans my opinions, because my opinions could be wrong. I am a human, and I revise my beliefs all the time. But people who refuse to, revisit their belief systems are scary to me. And people who censor other people who have opposing views. Like, if you go post any one of my three websites on certain websites, those websites will ban you, they will unfriend you, and that's pathetic.
Yeah, that's a little bit like if you're a scientist and you're not studying global warming or climate change, then you're out. You can't get grant funding, you can't study.
There will be a shunning.
The shunning.
Yeah. Dude, we need a shunning right now. He said he doesn't believe in CO2. It's insane. I mean, we have this situation where, if you say the word Israel, you might be called anti-Semitic the next day. I mean, I don't get it. Everybody's so quick to toss labels. And, you know, at the same time, I think some labels need to be tossed back, you know, like fake news, conspiracy theorist, you know, all of these, you know, labels. Everybody wants to put a box on something and call you that, but we're all, you know, very unique creatures. And some of us have some pretty screwed up motivations. And, you know, I listen to, I really don't listen to anybody on YouTube or, this is just me personally, and it's probably a, it could be a problem, you know, because I always not, get asked by.
You're not saying that ancient alien astronauts are fake, are you? You
know, I'm saying that I've never looked into it because if they are real, what does it matter?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I care about aliens today, you know, visiting me, being on like, hey, we saw Climate Viewer 3D. That's pretty cool, you know? Psych. Like, I've got anything they want except for maybe to probe my butthole.
That's out. You know,
it's a, I mean, why would I be scared of aliens? And you know what I mean? Being scared of aliens is like being scared of earthquakes. People who follow earthquakes all the time. I'm like, don't you realize that if this dude on YouTube tells you there was an earthquake, it's already happened?
Yeah.
And, you know, if people are predicting earthquakes and they really are good at it, don't you think the USGS would have beaten the door, you know, beaten their door down to like beg them to come to work because they want to predict earthquakes and save lives? I mean, Homeland Security's got a, you know, couple $1 billion grant waiting for you if you can actually predict earthquakes. So, and I see people arguing about who can be the better earthquake predictor. And I'm like, well, write a paper, prove it, and go get rich. Why are you on YouTube? So I don't get it. I mean, everybody's got their little fear porn niche or thing that they do. And I've never really ascribed to it. Like, I was going on John B. Wells' show, and they're like, this is on video. And I was like, I didn't sign up to do this. I mean, seriously, like, I'm so self-conscious that I don't even want to see myself on video. You know, despite how pretty I might be, you know, I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable, you know what I mean? I have Graves' disease, so I have a nervous disorder already. Like, I get nervous coming on your show, you know? And so then you're going to stick a camera in my face? Oh, shoot me in the face. But there's these egomaniacs that just live for it, and they just, like, once they get in this fear-controlled state, I think even themselves, they start to believe their own bamboozle.
Big time. There's a radio guy out of Arizona who will remain nameless. Who shall not be named. Who was on our show a couple of times, and he was calling me, learning about, you know, what was happening with some of the issues out here and whatnot. Well, then he started quoting me as a source, you know, and it was kind of all the, it was like, wait, you just called me at like 11 o'clock the other night and asked me a couple of questions. That was not like, you're my secret inside source. Then he disappears for a while. Now he's on there. On the air a lot. I've actually had people call and say, hey, have you ever heard of the Common Sense Show? And I'm like, yeah, I know that guy. I used to communicate with him a lot, but he disappeared for a long time. So I texted him, you know, hey, Dave, where are you, bud? Like, are you out there? What's going on? Like 2 months, 3 months later, he texts me back and says, I'm in hiding. It's like, well, not anymore. Obviously didn't understand how text messaging worked, but I just was like, what? And this guy's supposed to be, you know, unearthing all the secrets of the universe. It's like,
riddle me this. Like, and the guys with the anonymous names, like, I like anonymous, you know, like, I got friends in anonymous, but for like the guys on YouTube who are like using their voice and all that, why do you have an anonymous avatar? What are you scared of? I mean, my name, my phone number, my address is on my website.
Us too.
Not hard to find.
Yeah, us too.
And I'm telling you, like, there's I met this dude, and he was, you know, anyway, I won't say anything about him, but he said, you know, nobody's ever going to take you seriously till they can actually, you know, write you a letter to your house and know that you've got it and that you're a real person. And I thought about that forever. And for like, you know, 2 years, I was resonated on resonated.com and resonated.net, R-E-Z-N-8-D. And nobody knew who I was. And in fact, several prominent YouTubers tried to dox me like five times, and it just failed. I was like, you'll never find me, and I've got the most common name in the world. Even if you found me, you'd never believe you did.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
Like Jim Leaser.
Are there a lot? Ridiculous.
It turns out there's a gay porn star named James Lee who lives in Sumter, South Carolina.
That
as well.
That is fantastic.
That's great. That is fascinating. I didn't know that. So they did me a favor. You learn something about your hometown every day.
You could always make your resume sound more exciting than it is, you know.
Oh yeah, man. I'm a fun guy. At the end of the day, you gotta laugh at these guys when they tell you the whole world is dying and they're melting the skin from our bones and the trees are bare and all that. Yeah. Some of that may be happening to some degrees, and some of it may be more local than other, but I can tell you this. The trees where I live are gorgeous. South Carolina is a freaking wonderland.
Yeah, it is.
And if you ever get the opportunity to come down to South Carolina, do two things. Go in the woods and see what woods should look like, and get some freaking pulled pork barbecue that's got vinegar base while you're here. But
we have pretty good woods. I'm not sure how our pork is here, but
you don't have barbecue over there. It's not even called barbecue. Barbecue is a verb on the West Coast.
It is too.
It is.
It is, which is funny.
Yeah, I lived out there, so I joke about it all the time. So you guys barbecue.
We did. We went to a thing. I forget where it was. It was for Kubota Tractor back in our other life, and they said, we're going to have barbecue. We're like, oh, what are you barbecuing?
Barbecue.
And they looked at us. They're like, it's barbecue. And we were like,
okay, so let's make a teachable lesson out of
it. We kind of went around and around, and it was like, oh, I get it.
I was with them until they said, you're not from around here, are you?
And then, then they handed Bill a sack of boiled peanuts. It's like, ooh,
this is not right.
I'm allergic to them, so I didn't eat any. But he said they were icky.
Boiled peanuts are the best.
All right, we need to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back to Jim. Oh, wait, sorry, what?
I was going to say barbecue is a slave speak word in which it is a high level descriptor, and it means different things to different people, just like the word chemtrails. And you know, if you have a word,
who would have thought that was like a setup for the chemtrail thing, huh?
You're welcome.
That's pretty.
It wasn't a setup.
That's pretty darn good.
I saw the tie-in there, and it's so relevant. There are words that people argue about that mean totally different things. So in reality, your reality is different than mine, even using that word. And the same is true with chemtrails. If I use it, I mean clouds coming from planes. If I say it to a scientist, he's going to go, this dude means more gallons and crazy conspiracies, and not believe a word I say afterwards.
Yeah, true. And we've kind of seen that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's ponder that. And we'll take a really quick break here. We're doing some pondering with Jim Lee this morning. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before the storm. I know it's been coming for some time. When it's over, so they say.
And that rhymes with Jim Lee. Mm-hmm. Clever, Bob. Very clever.
It's my favorite song.
We love that, too.
It was on my YouTube channel. They gave me a copyright strike for it.
Damn. Oh, damn it. We did a show it was like this guy trains people to get out of hostage situations.
Yeah.
And he's a SEER instructor, and he did a class for a bunch of us here. So Bob pulled out all the stalker songs. You know,
there's a lot of stalker songs.
Most of what we listened to in the 70s, yeah, in high school and stuff, yeah, we were all being, programmed with stalker songs. It wasn't good.
Yeah, that was the MK Ultra days.
Yeah, it made me have to rethink my listening, because I know all the words and everything. I'm thinking, oh, geez, I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, I know. It's so like when the Snowden thing happened, I like made a video and I put that song on there, and I was like, "See, it was so right on."
and they busted you for
so right on the money. The other one is I can't think of it right now. It's a Sting song.
Oh yeah, that's
Every Breath You Take.
We played that one too.
That's the one.
We should play that one too, and then you can link this to your site, and then you're not actually copyright infringing. That'd be fun.
Oh, no. If I actually just record this, take the recording of this and put it up on YouTube, the commercials will flag you. It's one of the biggest sins in the industry. Like, even though you guys have the right and you gave me the right, I would get a flag and have to contest all of the different commercials because it'll be individual flags.
No, the commercials will be gone.
Huh?
The commercials are gone.
You got them out of there. Even better.
Check. I've got that candle.
Check. Nice.
Or way ahead of you.
But yeah, the other one, Every Breath You Take, I'll Be Watching You. That's the two songs for me that really sum up the, whole surveillance state and the paranoia that goes with it.
Exactly. A lot of this stuff you don't understand. So when somebody comes along and says, there's aluminum, let's talk about aluminum, please, because that's one of my biggies. There's aluminum at the top of Mount Shasta. It's 14,000 feet. How did it get there if it didn't come from a plane?
Oh, well, it could have come from Africa.
And
mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's called the jet.
Yeah, like.
Tell them. You've told me, but I haven't shared.
So, like. I mean, now the numbers are never going to be right, so I never ever trust numbers. But generally speaking, this is the accepted idea, is that about maybe 60% of the aluminum in the air comes from African dust. You can actually see it on satellite. And dirt itself, like the clay dirt, is loaded with aluminum. And, that blows off the desert. You could actually see over the ocean big red clouds of dust blowing off of it. So it's not a big surprise. That's what creates the monsoons, over in India. And it affects whether we have hurricanes or not. If there's a whole lot of dust, we won't have a hurricane. If there's a lack of dust blowing in that direction, we're more likely to have a hurricane. You got to know this stuff anyway. So the second biggest source of atmospheric aluminum would be rockets. And the number, I got a paper from a chemistry college exam, and it gave a scenario, and in it it said that every time the space shuttle took off, the rocket boosters would produce 304 tons of aluminum oxide in the air. That these aluminum oxide clouds would produce acid rain so strong that it would melt the launch pads.
Yikes.
And anything downwind of the launch pads. That's why they're out on Cape Canaveral, so that hopefully those clouds go out over the ocean. But that's a lot of aluminum.
Yeah.
If you look at jet fuel, like JP5, it's a military-grade jet fuel, had about 2,000 parts per billion of aluminum in it. So there is aluminum in there, and it is being sprayed out. And then what's the difference? There's 110,000 flights a day.
But it's coming out as exhaust. They're not spraying it on us, right?
In my opinion, it's coming out as exhaust, but it can be sprayed. It's called a fuel dump.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a fuel dump is dumping fuel in raw format, in raw form. So here's the thing. JP8, which is what the military switched to, JP5 was gasoline. JP8 is diesel fuel. There's something unique about diesel fuel. I saw a bus. Swear to God, this happened 2 days ago. Me and my wife were both like, look, look, that bus is making a chemtrail.
Kind of low. But...
swear to God, man. It was because we just got this big snowstorm that came down this way. It's like 24 degrees outside. And the bus came by, and it left an ice cloud that persisted. And I went... it's just, I mean, it just reaffirms everything I know about this stuff. So, kerosene has something called paraffins in it. Paraffins is wax. And wax, paraffin wax in particular, is what they use for skywriting and stage smoke.
I did not know that.
In every movie you ever seen. So, I mean, if we really want to get, you know, dorky about it, I mean, I think the simplest answer is it has to do with the fact that they use diesel fuel. They have impurities in it. It's still the best of the best. You know, they call it top of the barrel. You know, it's the most pure that they can get, but it ain't pure. It does have barium in it. It has strontium in it. It has aluminum in it. JP-8 has 9,000 parts per billion of aluminum in it, compared to 2,000 in the JP-5, which is gasoline-based. This is important because the military from 1988 to 1996 switched every single plane from gas to diesel fuel. It's called the NATO single fuel concept. So when they switched to diesel fuel in 1997, chemtrail started. And that's the first time that the word was used on the internet. And the first three articles about it said, the military is now using this new jet fuel called JP-8 and it's making clouds everywhere. What the, you know, WTF. And we've come a long way since there. Then, you know, it's like, you know, originally an idea starts here, and then it becomes a meme, and the meme mutates, and then it becomes ugly, and then it's just filled with fear porn, and at the end of the day, you've got this fat, bloated, scary MF you don't ever want to look at, because it's so convoluted, and it's connected
true.
To everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what about the... you know, the trails that you see that start and stop.
That's one of the biggest, you know, arguments going on. And even in that, Ken Caldera, Mick West, and the boys put out this science paper where they asked 100 scientists, what they believed about the secret large-scale aerosol spraying program, SLAP. What a slap in your face, right?
Yeah.
They called it SLAP. So instead of chemtrails, they called it SLAP. And they said that they polled 100 scientists, and that question alone got, like, 98 different answers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of them, and I actually pushed Mick West on this, and he published the individual answers for me, sans names. Damn it. But they generally believe that it has to do with relative humidity. And it's this idea put out by Ulrich Schumann, over at the German DLR, and they're called ice supersaturated regions. So the idea is that there are not only rivers in the sky, there are bubbles in the sky of water. And you can fly in and out of them. Also, you have wind shear, so it's massive updrafts and downdrafts. You know, like what you get whenever you get turbulence. You know, your plane starts bouncing around because wind is going up and down. The third option is that there's engine performance issues, where it's not burning completely, or you've got some impurities in your fuel line and it's sputtering through there. They have this stuff called FAME contamination, fatty acid methyl ester. Basically, they've started using biofuels. You know how you get gas and it says 10% ethanol?
Uh-huh.
Now they have this stuff called drop-in fuel, which is a 50-50 blend of the old kerosene-based jet fuel and some biofuel. And the biofuels can be camelina plant, algae-based, chicken fat. There's one from a tobacco plant. There's what they call landfill to jet, where they use landfill waste and they turn it into jet fuel. This is called the Fischer-Tropsch process. So if these fuels get contaminated, it's called a FAME contamination. It can cause all kinds of problems. They have something called humbugs. That's biological organisms growing inside the gas tank. And they put biocides, so like weed killer, they put it in there to kill the bugs in the gas tank. BioBore makes it. And if we're talking about fuel dumping, all the aluminum, you know, all of the biological organisms are not burnt. They're jettisoned. So that's spraying. The other is pollution. And either one could happen at any time on any flight. And I believe the military is directly involved in doing albedo modification or SRM. The CIA director, Brennan, you talked about, they funded $630,000 to the National Academy of Sciences to look into geoengineering. They did a report, and I was at the webinar live, and they said, let's not call it climate engineering anymore. They'd already rebranded it from geoengineering to climate engineering. Now they want to call it climate intervention, because engineering's a bad thing, and your car breaks, and nobody wants you to break the climate.
Right, right.
So we're going to have an intervention. And the CIA came up with this terminology. The National Academy of Sciences signed off on it. And it's even mentioned in a DC Leaks email from Hillary Clinton's and John Panetta, Podesta's got a group that's lobbying for geoengineering. They said, after COP21, we're going to go get money to make this a reality. Climate intervention. So this is about how words are important. And credibility is crucial. And fear porn is no longer acceptable. And I think that that's why Trump won. I think that's why Democrats are crying. Soros is freaking out. And they're trying to do everything they can to start a race war. Because the fear is melting away. Everywhere. Everywhere I look, fear is finally starting to melt away. And people are starting to grow a backbone.
Yep. And masks are coming off. And people are starting to figure it out that it's all a bunch of BS.
It's just like V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
When the movie where the two parents, they say, we actually demolished our own tower and set off fireworks. And they look at each other like, I saw it with my own eyes. I know they're lying. And that's our media. And hell, that's half the entertainers that call themselves activists. You know, they've been able to control the narrative for far too long. And now people want more. You can only, like, feed people BS for so long before
sure.
they go, you're not saying anything new to me. I need to know now. Like, I've been with you this whole time. Why haven't you led me to the promised land? Why are you promising me more and giving me nothing?
Well, my big thing with this particular issue, because it always boils down to the same thing. When you start asking a lot of questions, don't you believe this is happening? I always get that. Don't you believe? And at home, the same thing. I believe in God, but I like my science to be factual. I shouldn't have to believe in your science.
Science is about observation proven.
Right.
You know, through tests and tests and experimentation. But by that definition, cloud seeding has never been proven in 60 years. I mean, they've done four major, you know, pushes to try to prove once and for all, we're going to do cloud seeding, we're going to get this much rain, and we can prove it. And they failed every single time to this day. So that's what I said to Ken Caldera and David Keith and the geoengineers themselves on Ken Caldera's forum in 2012. I said, you guys will never be able to pull this off, because after 60 years of cloud seeding, they have been unable to prove the efficacy of it, and nobody's going to let you do this on a global scale when you can't even prove that you can do cloud seeding accurately on a local scale.
On a regional, yeah, exactly.
And that's the legal argument I made when I started being an activist on this topic, and it was the second most viewed post on his entire forum. The only person who beat me out actually geoengineered an ocean. It was Russ George. His son. He had to, like, one-up me with some ocean iron fertilization. But, yeah, I made a legal argument, and the lawyers flogged. Ken Caldera and them tried to, like, you know, use slave speak to try to talk me down, and I knew what I was talking about. I debated him for 3 years on his forum, won every single debate we were in, and finally I told him, because he was talking about reframing a poll that had gone out, and it came back, you know, negative, that people don't like climate engineering ideas and it's a bad thing, 80%. And he was like, well, if we just framed the questions differently. And I said, Ken, you just became a lobbyist.
Yep, yep.
You are now a lobbyist. You expect the outcome that you want, and you'll do anything to get it.
Yep.
So you're not a
reverse
scientist,
engineer
you're a
the
lobbyist.
Question.
Yep.
Get the answer you want and then make the question fit it.
Exactly. And that's why I said, I said, you keep this up, I'll be coming with the tar and feathers. He banned me from his forum and went back to the post where I said the thing about the efficacy, the second most viewed one on his forum, and deleted my post. Just that one.
Interesting.
Left everything else and all of the replies to my post are still there. See, Ken was the first one to reply to me. If you look at Ken's reply, you can still see my post. It's attached to his reply. So why would you delete it? Because it's true.
Because it's true.
Right. Hit the nerve.
And that messes everything up. Ah, Jim, every time we have you on, for one, we get cheated out a part of the time, and then we go, God, time's over. We need him back again. We'll talk again soon.
I want to spend a full hour talking about chemtrails one time so we can really get to some nuts and butts.
Well, I want you to Skype into that meeting, so we'll email about that because I think that'd be a lot of fun. I think you'll find some good questions there.
Good.
Thanks for coming on, Jim.
Very cool, and the Weather Modification History website is amazing, so we wanted to get that out to people right away.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Check it out, climateviewer.com, climateviewer.org, weathermodificationhistory.com, and gofundme.com/climateviewer.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Jim Lee. We will see everybody next week for William K. on the topic of ecofascism.
There you go. Stay dry, everybody.
2017 is going to be loads of fun.
It's going to be the epicest epicness.
Epic.
This has been We the People on KCNR Shasta Redding.